Tonight, we are continuing with our topic, Understanding the Gates, the Spiritual Gates, which is a subtopic from the main topic we've been dealing with on the gym of faith. And on the gym of faith, we've been speaking about faith as a spirit, faith as strong faith, weak faith, faith as something that can grow, it can come, it can leave you. We spoke so many different things on this subject matter. However, we then went further where we actually spoke about faith in its context. We even prayed, God, increase my faith. We began to exercise and do different activities on faith. But that's not enough. You cannot have a gun and not know where the battle is. You can be a soldier. You cannot just go in the street and start shooting. You must know the location of the battlefield. This is why we are going further by starting to discover on where faith is applicable, application of faith. And this application of faith consists of understanding about what happens in reality. And we began with a subject of faith. Now I want everybody else to say with me, faith.
Faith.
This faith, we have gone and began to dig in it. And we now started speaking and discussing on areas of entry points where you can stand with authority and charge in the spirit. You can stop the enemy, or you can allow the enemy to have access. So we began a discussion on gates. These gates we spoke about, before we began to speak about the gates, we spoke about you as a believer must develop a watching spirit. To watch, it is to be a guard. To watch, it is to be a monitor, to check what's happening around you. There are things which are happening around you, and because of you not watching, these things are having serious consequences, be it spiritually, be it financially, be it materially, or of course in marital lives. So we are saying, when you begin to develop knowledge, knowledge, it is when you know. Because scripture gives us a clear statement to say that God does not feel sorry for people because they do not know. Similarly, the law. You cannot kill a person and say, please don't put him in prison because I didn't know it's wrong. In Latin, in law, they say what? Ignorantia legis, nemnem excusat. The ignorance of law has no excuse. So if you have no clue, are you here, right? If you have no clue, if you have no picture of what you're doing, it does not mean that you'll be exempted. It's not an exemption of the spirit. Are you here, right? So we actually spoke about salvation in its context, the word salvation. Salvation, it is the word sozo. It's a Greek word sozo, which simply means to save from destruction. And we see Jesus saving us on the cross. But our salvation on the cross does not mean that God also saved us from what we face in life. What we face in life, he gave us a mandate. He said, those who believe in my name, they shall cast out evils. He didn't say, when you believe in my name, then evils are cast out. He didn't say that. He said, when you are saved, you have been empowered, anointed to cast out evils. Say evils. So when you are, when God gives you the anointing, he saves you, you're born again. It does not mean that now it means I am free. No, it doesn't. This is why a man of God is through his deliverance. There are three dimensions of deliverance. The deliverance that happened in the past, we call it the past deliverance, the present deliverance, and the future deliverance. Or the then deliverance, the now deliverance, and the future deliverance. These three deliverances are mentioned by Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we see three dimensions of deliverance. It says, who delivered us? Now, somebody say, who delivered?
Who delivered?
Now, underline the word delivered. Is it present tense, past tense, or future tense?
Past tense.
It's past tense, isn't it? So, who delivered us from so great a dearth? And does deliver. The word does deliver. Is it past or present?
Present.
Continuous. In whom we trust that he will still deliver. Is it past, present, or future? So we see three types, three dimensions. Who delivered us, who still delivers, and who will? So when you were delivered, it does not mean your deliverance ended. He is still delivering you, and he will still deliver you. I'm talking to somebody, right? So there are three types, three dimensions. So, does a man of God still need deliverance? Of course, yes. And who is this talking? This is Apostle Paul. If you think you are highly anointed more than Apostle Paul, you must be joking. He is just an anointed man just as you. However, he says, God delivered us. He is still delivering us. And he will still deliver. You hear that?
Yes.
So, do men of God need deliverance? Of course, yes. There are people right now who are planning their downfall. People who are planning our downfall. Do you think it's the people planning? No. It's the evil one who can use people. So do we need deliverance? Of course. What did Jesus Christ say? In the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Hallowed. Thy kingdom. Thy will.
Be done on.
And give us, deliver us
from evil.
Exactly. So the prayer of deliver us from evil, Jesus was telling his disciples. He didn't say stop saying deliver us. This is Jesus telling Apostle Peter, telling his best disciples. He says the prayer of deliver us must never cease. Because he delivered us, he still delivers us, and he will deliver us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now raise up a right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
deliver me from all evil.
In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he delivered us, he's delivering us, and he will deliver us. I don't want to preach about deliverance tonight. I rebuke the temptation of preaching about deliverance because all these three, they have got their own explanations. But I think I've managed to speak in a brief and you have understood the whole context of what I'm trying to talk about. Now, let's talk about this. So from Scripture, we see the Bible saying about faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him with a diligent heart. That's Hebrews 11, 6. Now, so it's just impossible to please God. And I said to you that do not be confused to think you have got so much faith. It could be there is no faith. Because we saw in Scripture where Jesus vehemently opposed his disciples of having no faith. At times of telling them they have little faith. Meaning the faith was there, but it was what? Little. And these are disciples. This is Peter. This is James. This is John. They had faith, but their faith could not work. And he said it was little. Are you here, right? Then in Scripture, in Romans 12, verse 3, Bible still speaks to say when you are prophesying, it says you must prophesy according to the measure of your faith. The word prophecy there, or the word prophesy there, does not mean to prophesy like where I prophesy as a prophet, where I say, oh, you, I see you have got two children. No, not that type of prophecy. Okay? That is, there are three dimensions of prophecy, right? You can prophesy. The word prophesy, it can also mean to speak forth. Okay? To foretell. You can also foretell. Hello? So if I say in the name of Jesus, you mountain, move out. And you go to that ocean. I am prophesying. I am speaking forth. That's also prophecy. Stoma. Say stoma.
Stoma.
To speak with the words that can cut, penetrate, and cause a reaction. So I speak. So when I say to the mountain, be you moved. And the Bible says, and I doubt not in my heart, it shall be done. So that is to speak forth, to prophesy. You shall prophesy, like God said to Ezekiel. Speak to these dry bones. Prophesy to the dry bones. Speak to them, you shall live. Then he stood and said, you shall live to the dry bones. That was not to say to the bones that, hey, your name is so-so, hey, you come from this place. No, it was to speak forth. God said, prophesy to them. Speak to their situation. That is to prophesy. But now, the Bible says if you are prophesying this level of speaking to a situation, you must do it according to the measure. Measure. Because faith can be measured. It can be measured in quantity. And this quantity could be little or more or great. Somebody say, I'm here, prophet.
I'm here, prophet.
Once again, say to God, say, help my faith.
Help my faith.
So when we speak of faith, all right, a subject of faith, it is not a sentimental issue where you move by emotions. It's not an emotional issue. Are you hearing? It's not a sentimental issue where emotions work. Faith is not emotions. It's not an idea. Hello? Faith, it is a being. It's a reality. It's a knowing. For we know all things which is a knowing. We just know it. If I see somebody blind, I can say, right now, open your eyes and see. I know you will see. It's a knowing. I'm talking to somebody, right? It's a knowing. It's not something that you just have emotions. This is why some of you prayed for something the past years. You even stopped praying for it because you think it won't work. Hallelujah. Amen. Imagine praying for something and then it's not coming. Then you're saying, you know what? I'm stopping it. We have a great lesson from the Old Testament. Can you imagine it? That they began to sing songs surrounding Jerusalem. 7 times. Not only 7 times, but a day. Singing like that. Singing. And trust you me, if you would be told today to do that, would you believe it? If somebody would tell you now to say that, oh, you know what? I heard God telling me that for your miracle to happen, you should start moving, singing around the city. And the walls will fall. You will do it for the first time. For the second time. The third time, begin to ask you questions. You say, but are we sure? Am I talking to you? Are we sure? But these people, what they were doing, it was faith. They kept on singing. Surrounding it. Singing. Nobody doubted it. And lo and behold, the foundation collapsed. And the problem is, some of you have had faith. I'm a millionaire in Jesus' name. Oh, something is going to happen. The doors will open. Boom, poverty, struggles. Everything is coming to direction. You begin to say, ah, but did God really call me? Can you imagine John? He's in prison. Are you there? This is a man who said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Imagine, because he's in prison. Now he says, is he the same one? Is he the one? Or we should wait for another one? John began to question the whole faith thing. Because faith can come, faith can go. Once again, say, Lord, help my faith.
Lord, help my faith.
Because faith can come and faith can go. So when you have faith, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed not just to keep it and say, I have faith. No! Don't wait for trouble. You have to stop the trouble. And this is why you must be a watcher. And we saw in scripture where God makes Ezekiel to be a watcher. God said, behold, I set you a watcher over the house of Israel. If anything happens to Israel, you'll be responsible because you're a watcher. And I said, you, God set you as a watcher. And he can set you as a watcher for your own life, for your church, for your business, for your ministry. God can set you to be a watcher to see what's happening. And when you are doing that, God, by the grace, he puts you at a position known as the watchtower in the spirit. There is a season where you begin to know or to hear a lot about your children. That moment is not just a season that you are hearing about your children. Or there's a moment you start thinking much about them. It's not you thinking about them. God has put you at a position known as the watchtower. You are watching in the spirit. What you get at that moment, it must not be used for you to stress. It is known as prophetic intelligence, where God reveals to you. It could be for your father. It could be for your mom, for your sisters. For all of a sudden, you just thinking about it. Unfortunately, the devil knows you are actually monitoring what's happening in the spirit. And what he does, he comes to use the prophetic intelligence that you are getting in the spirit and tells you to say, you see now? You see why they are doing this to you? You see now, instead of you using the prophetic intelligence positively, it now works against you. Because the devil knows reverse psychology. And then instead of you acting upon it, it destroys you. Somebody said, I refuse to be destroyed by the enemy.
I refuse to be destroyed. Every intelligence I gather.
It is for me to act.
For me to act.
So you find all of a sudden, you are picking things. You are picking things about your business, about this, about that, about your husband, about your wife, about this and about that. Do not use that information. And according to the devil, you are standing as a watcher. Somebody says, I'm hearing you, prophet. You are watching. Use that as intelligence. Now, when you get the intelligence, understand, where is this problem coming from? How is it coming here? For you to have an answer, then understand the gates or the entry points. So I'm hearing you, prophet, clear.
I'm hearing prophet clear.
Because you can't just have the situation. You must understand the entry point. Oh, you want to become somebody in life, there must be a what? An entry point. You can't just become it. So for your faith to work, understand what's going on. So for you to understand what's going on, then we understand what is known as watching. And how do you watch? You must understand through which channels are the entry points. And the first entry point or the first gate we discussed is the time gate. I'm talking to somebody right here.
Yes, prophet.
The Bible says when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. The Bible says what? When the time is what? When the time is right. Isaiah chapter what? 60. Verse 22. The least of you will become a thousand. The smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this. Meaning to say, what is the get that God will do it? It's time. When the time comes, God will do it. Meaning to say, for God to do it, he's waiting for what? For time. So what will be the time here in this matter? It will become the get. The access for God to act shall be what? Time. We can even go further. The Bible says that, like the sons of Issachar, who understood times and the seasons, and he knew what Israel ought to do in which time. Are you there or you're not here? So when we are discussing, you know, I sometimes when I'm teaching, I jump other things because they're a bit deeper. Then when I'm doing revision, I talk what I jumped last time. Because I know now that you have understood, so you're going to get it. Okay? So when we are dealing with understanding of time, we do what we call the Issachar mapping. So Issachar is to understand what? Time. Simple. Is to understand what? Time and what? And the seasons. To know what's happening right now. Like right now is new moon, isn't it? And in a new moon, what happens? During a new moon, what happens in the spirit? There are economic shifts. Right now, it's either you're broke or a miracle has happened. So how you understand the times, new moon, on your birthday, what happens on your birthday, what happens on crossover, getting into another year. All these are dynamics a person begins to understand. When you begin to understand that, doing that, the ability of doing that is known as Issachar mapping. Where you want to understand spiritual times and prophetic times so you can align yourself properly. Some of you, the things you are praying for, you are just wasting your time now. Because in the spirit, they will happen next year. So when you know when they will happen, you won't panic. Jesus, when he was in the grave, he didn't panic because in the spirit, he knew he will rise on the 30th day. So there was a time as a gate, he will rise up. So when he was in the grave for the first time, it's fine. Second day, it's okay. People are crying. On the 30th day, he rose. Tell your neighbor, come on, Issachar mapping.
Issachar mapping. Issachar mapping.
To know when your miracle will happen is very important. When will you get married? It's very important. Like, I don't know. I pray that you catch the Issachar mapping in the spirit. May you know your time.
I receive it.
So when God puts up a time that I will do this at this time, is it possible for it to be disturbed? Yes. The devil can stop it. Are you understanding?
Yes.
We know the story of Daniel. The Bible says an angel said, the day you began to pray, you were answered. But Satan, the prince of Persia, withstood me for 21 days. Are you there? So the time was right, but there was a spirit to stop it. So there are people right now who are supposed to do something in life. But who's stopping? There's a demonic spirit stopping it. That's why Jesus said, if you believe in my name, you shall cast out evils. Somebody say, every evil.
Every evil.
Standing over my time.
Standing over
my cast you out.
I cast you out.
In Jesus' holy
in
name.
Jesus' name. My God.
So when we are dealing with that, we are clearing. My God, I'm talking to somebody right here. We are clearing our time gates. There are things that are supposed to happen at a certain time. And they must happen. It helps you to align yourself, your prayer, your everything accordingly. Because time is a gate. Seasons are gates. And there are people who don't even know it's their season. Imagine, now look at this. Imagine Saul. He was supposed to meet a prophet to be anointed as a king. But guess where he was? Looking for donkeys in mountains. Because he didn't know it was his time to be a king. Am I talking to you? Praise God for his friend who said, can we go to a prophet? It was not even him who had an idea. Like even some of you here. You came to me. It wasn't your idea. Somebody came and said, can we go? You're even resisting at first, like, you. Am I talking to somebody right here? You're even resisting, like, what are you talking about? But it was time. That time became a gate. Speak to your gate of time a little bit. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every
miracle.
Through my time gate.
Through my time gate.
I stand at the gate.
I stand at the gate.
I open for you.
I open for you.
Let this miracle have access.
Let this miracle have access.
Let this appointment have access.
Let this appointment have access.
Let this breakthrough have access.
Let this breakthrough have access.
I rebuke the enemy.
I rebuke the
enemy. At the gate of my time.
At the gate of my time. My God.
You are here, right? Yes. Now, imagine him. Imagine if you can check my phone in my notes, you'd be so shocked that I have written in my life for the next 10 years. To say this year, this will be happening at this season, at this time, because I did the mapping. So if certain things are not happening now, I don't even panic because I know when they will happen. But if you don't know, you think God is delaying. When you are driving somewhere and you know it takes 4 hours, you want to be complaining like, I'm not arriving until now. You know it takes 4 hours. I pray that you receive intelligence in the spirit.
I receive.
Somebody say, I'm here, prophet.
I'm here, prophet.
All right. So we also said, now, that we have looked at time as a gate, where things can come or things can go. That we have seen. Miracles can happen. God uses time. Economic shifts in the whole world don't just happen. There are times for economic shifts. Even updates, economic updates. There's a specific time they are posted. Time is a gate. Understanding such helps you to pray accordingly. 2. We spoke about the bloodline as another gate, second gate. Bloodline is a gate. There are things you can have access to them because of your bloodline. And there are things you can't have access to them because of your bloodline. Judah in the Bible, his whole bloodline was cursed because he wanted to sleep with his father's wife. And a ruling, a verdict was made by Jacob. And he said, your whole generation shall have this problem. So we see a generation that is affected because of one man. Am I talking to you? Yes. Similarly, I said this thing to you, that if you look around your life, if you were born from a certain family, you couldn't be suffering the way you do. But there is a history, a bloodline you are coming from. And I said, check around that bloodline. When you were going to school, people thought, wow, he's going to be the one to set free the whole family. You did the school. Where are we now? How are things? Are we okay? Exactly. And there are even people who didn't go to school, but they're doing better than you. Because it's not school sometimes. Sometimes it's not failure of your medulla oblongata. You think properly, but there is something in the spirit that says, in this family, no one gets there. This is why, no matter how born again you are, it does not disconnect you from your bloodline. Your DNA is the same. This is why, as a born again as you are, you can still have an asthma that has been moving in your generations. You can still have the cancer that has been moving in your generations. Until you say, I cast you out. Say with me, I cast you out.
I cast you out.
So whatsoever has access to me.
Whatsoever has access to me.
Because of my bloodline.
Because of my bloodline.
I cast you out.
I cast you out.
Say it again. Whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Has access to me.
Has access to me.
Because of my bloodline.
Because of my bloodline.
I cast you out.
I cast you out.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. My God.
In Jeremiah 31 verse 29. New Living Translation. Can you read it?
Jeremiah 31 verse 29. The people will no longer quote this proverb. The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste.
Who ate? It's the parents who ate. But who's testing?
The children.
It says, there'll be a moment. That's a prophecy, and that moment is now. Where they will no longer say, what parents did, what my generation did, I'm the one who's a victim. I believe that was predicted for this generation. This is our time to cut off from the sour grapes, which were eaten long time ago by other people we don't even know. I gave an example. Abraham, he lied that his wife was his sister. That spirit of lying went to his child, Isaac. He also lied. He said what? His wife also was what? It didn't end there. The children of Isaac, Jacob. His, actually, the name Jacob, it also means a liar. Can you imagine? He also lied. Are you understanding? Yes. What did he lie? He said that he was Esau. He even put on a skin of an animal because his brother had hair. He says, my father, I know you are blind. Just use your hand, touch around. It's me, your son, Esau. He said, but this voice. It didn't end there. His wife, it even went, because when the two come together, they become one. His wife lied. Rachel, he stole a god, a small god, from his father's house. And the father said, are you having my God? He said, no. The father said, let me search you. He says, I'm in period. You can't search me. And she knew your Bible. And she was not even in period. It didn't end there. It went to the children. 11 of them agreed to lie against Joseph. They said he has been killed by a lion. Was he killed by a lion? But the lie is moving in the what? In the blood. Now imagine if this is poverty. What generation is this? Abraham? Isaac? Jacob? The children. Fourth what? Do you know your fourth generation? You? Do you know your fourth grandfather? Some of you can lie. Listen. Some of you can lie. You don't even know where you take this lie. I'm telling you. There was an old grandmother of yours, which all of us we don't know. It's coming from there. She could lie, I'm telling you, in the village. The access, you're also doing it. What is the gate it is using? Your blood. It has access to you because of blood. Imagine poverty. Poverty is the same. Struggling is the same. We are breaking it. Yes. Somebody say, I will no longer suffer.
I will no longer suffer.
As it is written.
As it is
in the book of Jeremiah.
In the book of Jeremiah.
That what parents ate.
What the parents ate.
This proverb shall no longer be there. That what they ate.
What they ate.
I shall be the victim. Say, I cut myself off.
I
stand on these gates of bloodline. I clear them now.
I clear them now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's go ahead. So people can meet things. So imagine you just saying, I have faith. But you don't know how to close the gaps. Because now that you have faith and you know the gaps and that you're a watcher, you are now able to use this information of guests to watch, to say, no. I think with me, the enemy is standing at the gate of what? Time. With me, no. He's also standing at the gate of what? Bloodline. Something's happening. Look at my sister. She's not married. Look at my cousin. He's not married. My aunt and me. No, there's a bloodline gate. So now you'll be able to use your faith properly and say, in the name of Jesus, I disconnect myself from every gate of the enemy. The step further I want to take right now, I want you to raise up your right hand. Say, in the name of Jesus. I clear my gates. By the power of the Holy Ghost.
I declare.
Every access of the enemy. Through my bloodline.
Is destroyed.
Say amen.
Amen.
Now, so, if the bloodline is access, it now answers the reason or the question, why was he supposed even to shed the blood? Answer that question. I'm asking you, why, with this teaching I'm teaching you now, if Leviticus says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, in Hebrews 10, verse 19, what does it speak of the blood of Jesus? It says, therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness.
Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
So the access to enter the holiest is the blood of Jesus. Even you where you are today, for you to be born again, you entered the Holy of Holies. How did you do it? It was the blood. Do not play around with blood access. This is where when we are praying for certain things to happen, Okay, we're going to do this exercise right now. If you have some documents, hold those documents right now and say the following words. My God. Marufe hetakapa. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every project I do.
Every project I do.
Every activity.
Every activity.
Every prayer point.
Every prayer point.
It will have access.
It will have access.
Access to greatness.
Access to greatness.
By the blood.
By the blood
of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
Now, so the blood of Jesus gives you access, because bloodline, when we say bloodline gate, we do not only mean evil. We also mean there's the bloodline, the blood of Jesus. Gives us access. Say the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Gives us access.
Gives us access.
If you read the Bible, it speaks of the Holy Communion. Jesus says what? He says, drink. As you do this, do in remembrance of me. So the gospel according to Major 1 is so simple. If you are doing it in remembrance of Jesus, what do you remember him of? I remember him as a miracle worker. So when I'm taking Holy Communion, I am taking in remembrance of what he was doing. You're not getting it. So the access, the blood gives me access to remember his deeds. He was making impossibles possible. So through his blood, I have access to impossibilities. Through his blood, I have access to deliverance. Through his blood, I have access to healing.
My God.
Through his blood.
My God. My God.
Blood gives us access. This is why blood is also a gate. When Jesus saw that you are facing these issues, he knew you will not come out, because it's coming from your blood. Do you know why there is sin in the world? Do you know why there is punishment? Because of one man, and his name was Adam. Through his blood until today, the whole world is condemned. But for those who believe, there's no condemnation. So it took blood to cancel blood. Someone says, I speak blood of Jesus.
I speak the blood of
Jesus. I cancel the other blood of limitation.
Of limitation.
Of stagnation.
Of stagnation.
I cancel the other blood.
I cancel the other blood
of poverty.
Of poverty.
I cancel the other blood. I
cancel the other
of failure.
Of failure.
I cancel the other blood. I
cancel the other
of sickness and
of
disease.
Sickness and diseases.
Thank you, Father. Because tonight we have access to impossibilities through the blood. Somebody says, stand at the gate.
I stand at the gates.